Well, we find here in 1 Kings chapter 19 that Elijah has a death threat hanging over his head. Jezebel has issued this death threat against God's servant. And if you turn back there to 1 Kings chapter 19, in verse 1, "And Ahab told Jezebel all that Elijah had done." Talk about a henpecked husband, a man who was under the thumb. Well, that was Ahab. And it tells us, "Ahab told Jezebel all that Elijah had done, and withal how he had slain all the prophets with the sword." Now notice this. "Then Jezebel sent a messenger unto Elijah, saying, So let the gods do to me, and more also, if I make not thy life as the life of one of them by tomorrow about this time." Jezebel issues a death threat against God's anointed, against God's servant. There was a death threat hanging over him. But thank God someone was watching over him. Even though the death threat was hanging over him, thank God there was the great Almighty Lord watching over him. And you know what? It doesn't matter even if we have a death threat hanging over us. Whenever God is watching over us, that's all that matters. And you know, Elijah wasn't the last Christian to have a death threat hanging over his head. He's not the last Christian to have a death threat hanging over him. Down through the centuries, God's people have been threatened, even to this present day. You've got Christians in persecuted countries, and they're under threat of death. They receive death threats because they take a stand for Christ and openly witness for him in a land that perhaps is Muslim or Buddhist or whatever. Of course, you've even got Christians today who simply, because they've converted to Christ, their family members, their neighbors, issue a death threat against them. You know, what happened to Elijah is happening today. So here we find this servant of God, Elijah, the death threat was hanging over him, but thank God someone was watching over him. His Lord and his Savior was watching over him. You know, we find here in this passage proof of the care of God. Proof and evidence that God was watching over his child. We find in 2 Corinthians chapter 12 those lovely words, verse 9, "My grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness." The Lord was watching over Elijah. The Lord saw his servant. He knew that he was discouraged, he was cast down, he was exhausted. But the Lord was sympathizing with his child. The Lord wanted to comfort his child. The Lord wanted to help his child. And very soon, Elijah would experience the grace that was sufficient for him. God's grace is always sufficient for his people, even when their lives are in danger. In Psalm 103, verse 14, we have the lovely words of the psalmist. He says, "Like as a father pitieth his children, so the Lord pitieth them that fear him. He knoweth our frame. He remembereth that we are dust." You know that the Lord realized that Elijah was just dust. The Lord realized how weak his frame was. And of course, the Lord realizes the same about us tonight. He realizes that we're just dust. There's nothing special about our physical constitution. There's nothing special about our bodies. If you go to any biologist, any scientist, they'll tell you that man is made up of the elements of the earth, the soil, the clay. And of course, that's proof of Genesis chapter 2, where it tells us that the Lord God formed man of the dust of the ground. Physically, that's all we are. We're just dust. I know that there's people today, and they get so full of themselves, and they're so proud, and boy, they strut around like peacocks. And you know, you would think that there were something special to see them, and they think that there's something special. They think they're God's gift to the world. But really, at the end of the day, man is so weak and so feeble, there's nothing special to him. And that was the case with Elijah. He was just dust and ashes. He was just flesh and blood. But yet at the same time, he was precious to the Lord. And the Lord was watching over him. Well, if you want an outline for the chapter, first of all, you have the enemy's message of danger. The enemy's message of danger. And of course, we've touched on that already, how Jezebel sends out the threat against God's servant. And, you know, on Friday night, we were teaching the children about Mount Carmel and the fire coming down from heaven and how the prophets of Baal were defeated. And the people realized that there's only one God, and the Lord, He is the God. The Lord, He is the God. But just a short time later, and in the very next chapter, we have the bold, courageous Elijah running for his life. Talk about going from a lion to a lamb. Elijah, the lion-hearted man who had boldly stood against the tide of evil, stood on his own, as it were, humanly speaking, against all the hosts of Baal. But now he's as weak as water, and he's fleeing for his life because of the enemy's message of danger. You know, the enemy's message of danger sometimes comes to you and to me. Don't speak to that person about Christ because this might happen. Don't go to a prayer meeting because so-and-so might talk about you or people might think this or that about you. Don't take your stand in the workplace because you'll be laughed at. People will make a fool of you. Don't do this. Don't do that. And you know, we've talked tonight about the Lord whispering, but you know, the devil can whisper too, and he can whisper his message of danger. And the devil has had 6,000 years to practice, and he's an expert when it comes to spiritual warfare. And you see, the devil sometimes comes to us, and he comes with his message of danger, and the aim is to try to stop us, to hinder us serving the Lord. His aim is to try to stop us from doing the will of God. What's life all about? You think about that question for a moment or two tonight. What's life all about? Well, I'll try to describe it for you. Finding the will of God. Following the will of God. And finishing the will of God. God has a plan for your life. He's a plan for my life. And by the way, it's the best. Romans chapter 12, verse 2, that ye may know what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. If you're not doing God's will tonight, if you're not living the life that God wants you to live, you're enjoying second best. That's the simplest way I can put it. You're getting second best tonight. You know, there's so many people and they're afraid of God's will. Oh, if I lay my all on the altar and if I say to Jesus, I want to do your will and I want to live for you, the one who shed your blood and died for me, I want to be in the center of your will, Lord. So many people think that if they say that to the Lord, that the Lord will send them to Africa or Australia or to South America or to some far off part. Oh, I'll be miserable. Oh, I'll never be able to stick it. It'll be like a chore. It'll be so hard. It's the best. Now, the Lord mightn't send you to the mission field. He mightn't send you to some far-off part. He might just keep you at home. Because, mind you, our wee country's fast becoming a mission field. And as we often say, there's a mission field right on your doorstep. So just you leave it to the Lord where he puts you, where he takes you. But you see, the devil will go all out to stop you doing the will of God. And that's what he wanted to do in the life of Elijah. Just get him away. Just knock him out of action. You can almost hear the hosts of hell cheering as Elijah runs to the wilderness. He runs away. Ah, there's so many in our day and generation, and they're running away from the battle. So many Christians, and they're taking to their heels whenever the Lord needs them to stand and to dig their heels in. They're just running away as fast as their feet will take them. And Jesus says, take a stand. Stand up for me. Just be like Shammah that we looked at a couple of weeks ago on the Sunday night. Just dig in your heels and hold the ground. Hold the fort. But there's so many that are just running. The courage is gone. And then the problem is that when one Christian runs away from the battle, then others follow them. Oh, friends, the need of the hour is for courageous Christians. Christians, as we could put it, we could say, Christians with fire in their heart, fire in their soul. Christians who are prepared to stand. Christians who will not budge. Oh, we have the enemy's message of danger, and sadly, when this message of danger comes to Elijah, he does exactly what the devil wants him to do, and he runs away. But thank God there's not only the enemy's message of danger, but you've got the angel's message of grace. The angel's message of grace in verse 5. And as he lay and slept under a juniper tree, behold, then an angel touched him and said unto him, arise and eat. You have here this description of the angel coming along to Elijah. And the angel comes with a message of grace. Arise and eat. Then verse 7 again, same words. Arise and eat. And he adds a wee bit, because the journey is too great for thee. You know, the Lord realized that Elijah had physical need. But you will notice, please, that the Lord didn't do anything supernatural or miraculous to meet that need, in a sense, because the Lord simply says to Elijah, arise and eat, or we would say, get up and get something to eat. What Elijah needed was food. You know, we find in these verses good practical advice for us when we're unwell and when we're weak and weary. Sometimes it's simply just a case of doing very practical things. We find here that whenever Elijah arrives in the wilderness, he lies down under the juniper tree, he falls asleep. Sleep was what he needed. Mind you, sleep's very important. Each one of us, we need sleep. We live in a day and a society where people are getting less and less sleep. There are people who are regularly going to bed at 1 or 2 o'clock in the morning. This is the norm now. I was chatting to someone there recently, and they said that they had gone to bed the previous night at 3 or 4 o'clock in the morning. Sleep is so important. We live in a day and generation when you could say that it's a day and generation, it's a country where there's sleep deprivation. But it's so important. And Elijah just needed sleep. He needed rest. And so important, I know this is really practical. This maybe doesn't sound like a Sunday sermon, but it's important. Be careful. Don't run your body into the ground. I know there are nights, there are times when you can't avoid it, and for some reason or other, you have to be up late and you don't get very much sleep. But don't make it the norm. And so sleep is important here, and the Lord knows that. And Elijah, he gets rest, and that's the first thing that helps him. You find that we've already mentioned about the food. Arise and eat. Verse 6, there was a cake, bacon on the coals, and a cruse of water at his head. There's the food and drink. So you've got the sleep, the food, and the drink. We could talk tonight about fresh air, the importance of fresh air. Of course, Elijah got plenty of that on his journey to the wilderness. There's no problem there. Of course, when it comes to the body, we not only need sleep, we not only need food and drink, we not only need the fresh air, but of course we need the exercise, isn't that right? You know, so often exercise is a cure for a lot of problems, a lot of sicknesses. Exercise. Whenever you get to my age, you realize just how important exercise is. For the old brain starts to slow down if you stop the exercise. And the middle-aged spread begins to show. The exercise is important. Spiritual exercise is very important too. Well, we could touch on that tonight. Spiritual exercise, you know. I wonder, have we done our spiritual exercises today? Have we read this book, studied this book? Have we prayed? I wonder from day to day, this week ahead, how will we get on in our spiritual exercises? The exercise of the soul. Just as the body needs exercise, so the soul needs exercise. So what I'm really trying to get at here is that the angel comes with this message of grace to poor Elijah, but it's a very practical message. The angel doesn't say, you know, that God's going to do something miraculous. Now, Elijah, you just sit back and you just watch the Lord do this great miracle in front of your eyes. No, the angel says, arise and eat. Do what you can, Elijah, to help yourself. And you know, the Lord still expects us to do what we can to help ourselves. And then when we can do no more and we can't help ourselves, then he steps in and he meets our need. The enemy's message of danger, the angel's message of grace. We'll finish off tonight with the Creator's message of power. The Creator's message of power. In verses 9 to 14, we have the great Creator displaying his power. He comes with a message of power. In verse 11, the Lord says, go forth and stand upon the mount before the Lord. And behold, the Lord passed by, and a great and strong wind rent the mountains and brake in pieces the rocks before the Lord. But the Lord was not in the wind, and after the wind an earthquake, but the Lord was not in the earthquake, and after the earthquake a fire, but the Lord was not in the fire, and after the fire a still small voice. The great Creator comes first of all with the wind, a hurricane, you could say, this storm that arrives. Then he comes and he displays his creative power in the earthquake. He's the great Creator, the one who has made all things, and he comes and there's the earthquake. But then you've got the fire. Some commentators would say it's lightning. The Lord comes with the lightning. So you've got the wind, you've got the earthquake, you've got the lightning. It's just as if the Lord is reminding his child that he's the creator. He's the maker of all things. You know, people need to be reminded of that. You've heard me say before that the problem in Ulster for too long is that the church has got the message back to front. We put the cart before the horse, and we go to men and women, and we say, Jesus loves you, you need to be saved. But actually, there's something else that comes before that, and it's the message of the Creator. In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. The Lord God formed man of the dust of the ground. All things were made by him, and without him was not anything made that was made. And here's the crux. We must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ. The great Creator, the one who has made us, one day he will call us, he will summons us to stand before him. And oh, how terrible if we're still in our sins. And then the light begins to dawn. Oh yes, I see it. That's why I need Christ. So there's the Creator's message of power. Oh, that God in 2014 would show to people his power, his creation. Oh, that people would receive the Creator's message of power today. Now, whenever the Lord comes with the reminder of his creative power, then he comes with the still small voice. And we've already touched on that tonight. It literally means a whisper. The Lord comes to Elijah and he whispers to him. This beautiful, sweet voice comes to God's servant. God's broken servant, God's hurting servant, God's weary servant. You know, I see a lovely picture of the gospel in this still, small voice. The hymn writer said, peace, perfect peace in this dark world of sin. The blood of Jesus whispers peace within. You see, you had the wind, the earthquake, and the lightning. That's like the law, the Ten Commandments. And remember where Elijah is here. He's at Mount Horeb. That's the place where God gave to Moses the Ten Commandments. And you know, the law is like that. The Ten Commandments are like that. Boy, they're just like a storm. They're just like the wind. They're just like the earthquake. They're just like the lightning. Boy, they strike fear into your soul because you know that you've broken them. Every one of us know that we've broken the Ten Commandments. We're guilty. And my, how we tremble whenever the Holy Spirit reveals to us our lost condition. But then the still small voice, the sweet whisper of the gospel comes to us and it says, the law was our schoolmaster to bring us unto Christ that we might be justified by faith. I hope that you know about the Creator's message of power. I hope you have heard the Creator's message of power. I hope that you've also experienced what it is to be shaken and to be stirred and awakened by the thunderings and the lightnings of the law. And if you have experienced that, thank God, tonight you can hear the still small voice of the Savior. That gentle, tender voice. It comes to you tonight and it says, come now and let us reason together, saith the Lord. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. Though they be red like crimson, they shall be as wool. That still small voice, it comes and it whispers, tonight come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Can you hear that voice tonight? Inviting you to come to this, to the Savior. That still small voice is going out tonight and it's saying, all that the Father giveth me shall come to me, and him that cometh to me I will in no wise cast out. Have you heard that voice yet? Oh, there's no voice like it. The still small voice of Christ.